When a private business like your salon is experiencing hardship, guess what the CEO does?
We're making the money often on the floor just to pay the wages of the team. Like, that's not good.
Your business will grow in relation to the quality and speed of your decisions. So no decisions, no growth.
One person's brain is not scalable. And so if you're wondering why your business isn't growing, it's because you're trying to... Hey, nice hat, Joel.
You like it?
I do.
Pretty good.
You like mine?
Yours is awesome. I like the way you wear it.
Thank you. So today we're going to talk about the three hats of a $1 million salon. Oh, that was a good topic.
That's a great topic. And look, if you're not watching this, I reckon you should. It's going to be great. Let's have some fun, eh?
All right. Well, the thing is, often as stylists, therapists, salon owners, probably any business to be fair, we often think about our business in the first instance in terms of the job. Like, we did a job before we opened our business, whether it was stylist, therapist, and we just decided to buy a business. That was certainly my experience. And it can quickly turn quite messy and quite complicated because we don't know what we don't know when we step into a business experience. We've never done it before. And it's really easy to quickly get overworked. We get home and there's still admin to do. And we're up to 11 at night doing the things. We call it admin. We're underpaid. You know, like, we're making the money often on the floor just to pay the wages of the team. Like, that's not good. That's what it can feel like. And then we're stuck in decision fatigue. You know, we're making decisions for everybody about everything, like for the business, for the clients, like what color to mix. And then we get bombarded with, can I go home early? Can I take the day off? God forbid, I don't want to work here anymore. Or my best one. Do you know what the best one was, Joel? That always freaked me out. I'm pregnant. Bloody hell.
Oh, man.
I had 14 babies in 4 years in my business. And so that one, like, I still get the jitters with that one.
Yeah. Gosh. Sounds really, really difficult.
Traumatizing, shall we say? Traumatizing. So We thought it was a good idea to talk about the three hats that every business owner needs to wear. So should we do that, Joel?
Let's do it. So hat number one is exactly what Larissa has just been talking about. We call it the job hat. And I just want to point out a couple of key things here that Larissa spoke to, which is you have been, still are, the stylist or a therapist, and you're contributing on the daily or weekly to the effectiveness of the business by actually doing services for clients. You're in the daily ops, you're making it work, you're doing hair or skin or beauty.
Yeah, you're contributing to making ends meet. Like, there's this pressure. Which first was like, oh, it's such a joy, I can serve clients on my own terms. And then it turns into this sort of commercial pressure. I actually have to contribute to the rent and then be able to buy the products and, God forbid, pay the team while they're building. And really, we need to look at that as like there's a commercial viability or commercial function that your role is, not just because you want to do it and you love to do it. And we need... look at it as if somebody else did it, what would that look like? Because often we're filling like a lack of cash or too much white space, and so we think we need to step in and do that job. And at the beginning, it's perfectly true and correct, but as the business grows, that starts to shift and become a problem.
Yeah, and I think that can be quite challenging to actually look at it through the lens of somebody else, like to step out of it. And if I was looking from above, I'd say that, you know, when you're wearing the job hat, like without even knowing it, you're trying to control everything. You're trying to control the client services, the making ends meet, the team are happy. You're trying to control. And after lots of months or years or even decades, like, you hope that you finally arrive at a point where it's all working and everything's balanced and everyone's kind of happy. And I think many people listening to this might be able to say, hand on heart, yeah, actually, it is working okay, Joel, with me wearing the job hat. But you wearing only the job hat, it has a real limit. And I know, you know, Riss, many owners that work bloody hard for many, many years, and they wind up just breaking even or even not breaking even. Like, hard work is not the only part of what it means to run a successful business.
Yeah, because while we're doing the job, now that might be the manager's job, it might be the front of house job, but it might actually be income generating on the floor. And if we're just doing that job and we start to wonder why, like, why can't I get good team members? Because if you're serving clients, like, who's running the business? And so the goal really is to turn the tasks, the job roles, the income generating, the serving clients from front of house, or even the management role, into a repeatable system so other people can do this, so you can wear the next hat.
You do that.
Yeah.
You're like this.
Because you actually need to take that hat off. Yeah, Joel's taking his hat off now. Like, I won't because I've got a hat here. You can take it off. But, like, that's how we get stuck in this two steps forward, two steps back. And, you know, 6 or 12 years go by and here we are still on the floor. And meanwhile, we've been through about 24 different team members who have spent 2 years in the business, built half a clientele, just start to get good, and then they're off. And meanwhile, we're still slaving doing the job because we've completely ignored the next two hats. Because remember, this is about the three hats of a salon CEO. So we really need to spend the majority of our time in the CEO hat and upgrade our thinking. You know, like, we quickly outgrow that hat. And we actually need to think about it differently, upgrade our thinking. We just did a two-day intensive, like 2 days ago, Joel, where we spent the majority of our time working with our salon CEOs about how they can literally extract the business out of their brain and out of their physical being requirement to physically be in the business and start to create a separate brain and use AI to capture their brain and put the tools in the hands of their team so the team can actually operate effectively doing all those roles, the systems and the processes, the daily operations. This is too heavy a burden for the owner to do all of that on behalf of 3, 6, 9, 12, or even 20 team members. It's just not physically possible.
Yeah. It was such a good intensive, and I'm saying that objectively. Obviously, I was part of the creation and contribution with you, but, like, just reading the feedback, and as you pointed out before, like, if everything goes through your brain, everything, like, that's a weight, it's heavy, and that you know, to be able to put so much of it now through the other brain, it's freaking epic because it actually gives you the opportunity to look at the other two hats. So should we talk about hat number two?
Yeah, yes, let's do that. But I just want to say, like, one person's brain is not scalable. And so if you're wondering why your business isn't growing is because you're trying to run a business just through you. Like, you become the system and then your brain goes into overwhelm. And so my salon CEO, for example, becomes the one source of truth, the brain that is your brain that's not actually inside your brain. And Jemima, she's our AI inside of my salon CEO, helps you step into systems, processes, leadership, my next pay rise, team meetings, the five meetings that rule them all, the salon playbooks, so you can put the tool in the hands of the team. So you build the brain and then give it to your team. So let's talk about that, because I feel like that's kind of like the role of the next hat, Joel.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. So if the first hat was called the job hat, the second hat is called the salon CEO hat, the CEO hat. And the CEO hat is, it's actually, salon CEO is undefined. We haven't actually defined that before, have we, Riz?
No, not yet. Not publicly.
I mean, we're wearing hats that say salon CEO. When I think about, like, 20 years ago, CEO, I always thought, like, big corporation, like, there's a CEO, right? And there's 100 staff underneath them. Salon and CEO, like, we term that phrase, we distilled that here at Salon Owners Collective. And I think it would be useful for those that are listening to hear, like, what does that actually mean in the context of these hats?
Yeah, great. Should we do that?
Should we do it?
There's yeah. Five core roles of the salon CEO. And so let me do the first one, Joel.
Yeah, cool.
The first one is called the architect. And the architect really is about becoming the designer of your business rather than being the business. And there needs to be the separation. Like, you need to break up with yourself. the separation, because I think, and I can speak to this because I've did it in my salon. I've done it in Salon Owners Collective. Like, this is a phase that you need to go through when you start to separate yourself from the business, because our whole identity gets connected to you know, it's our reputation, it's our brand. And when team members start to do stuff that you just used to do solely, and they don't do it the same as you, like that reflects on you. And so it's hard to separate yourself from the business and the brand, but it's a necessary thing to do, to become the architect rather than, it's like when we become the mother. First we're pregnant, like the child is part of us, and then we have to give birth to this child. But the child's going to grow up, and one day it's going to sleep in a different room, and on another day it's going to go to college, and then it's going to leave your home. Like a 19-year-old just left me for the second time. Like, it's hard, a hard process, but you've got to go through that. And we need to do that same separation from our business and start to have an identity that's separate, because you can't be the system. It's not scalable. You need to create or design what the business could be, so you can come away from the business, go home to your family, and wear a different hat, like a mother hat or a wife hat or a father hat or whatever other hats, you know, or the gym bunny hat if you want to like do something else in your life. So we need to come away from being the emotive person and start building something solid.
Yeah, it's so good, Riz. Like just listening to you there, that word to separate. And I'd go as far to say that if you don't learn how to separate yourself from who you've been, you're dooming yourself to experience nothing better in the future than what you're already experiencing. So the separation, while it's hard and difficult and challenging and maybe a little bit like, I don't actually know how to do what you're saying here, Riz, just recognize at a higher level that that separation is actually every successful person that you talk to, I bet you they can look back and pinpoint areas and times and parts of their journey where they separated from the old them and evolved into someone and something bigger and better.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry, I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode.
I always find it easy to think it needs to be a living human, for lack of a better word, in its own right. And so it can make its own decisions and it can stand alone on its own and it doesn't need me. But I'm still the designer. Like I can be the puppeteer with the strings maybe, but it's like it's a separate thing. It's not me on the strings. There's something else.
Yeah. The architect's not got a tool belt on, but they'll pop in and they'll give a bit of direction here and there. So if there's five parts to the salon CEO role, and we're talking about the CEO hat, the first is the architect. The second is vision. Something that I'm super passionate about is having vision, being clear about your vision, knowing what the horizon line looks like, where are we trying to get to? And I've worked with every kind of salon owner in the world that's like, it's really about brand and impact. And as a result of coming and experiencing our business, we actually get to send people out of here the most confident that they've ever been. And then you've got people that the vision is all about, I want to get to 1.6, I want to have a 25% profit and 400K profit every year. To me, that's the vision. Whatever it is, left, right, high, low, back, forward, you've got to get really, really clear about the vision, because once you are, it helps you with the next piece. So we've got be the architect, have a vision. The next piece is direction. See, the horizon line is actually quite far away, like getting to 1.6 or a brand that's revered, like being the flower, not the bee, as we so often talk about. It might take you several years to get there. Great, that's going to be an adventure. Along the way, you've got to have direction. And we might even refer to direction as like, what are the key projects or things that I need to do this year to move closer towards that vision? And that's certainly something that a salon CEO needs to be able to do, to prioritize and say, I cannot serve on the floor or in the room anymore because I am doing this.
Yeah.
During this period, you know?
That's actually a big gap often, Joel, is one of the reasons that people don't step into that CEO, put that CEO hat on, is they just don't know what it is. You can't move towards something if you don't know where you're going. And so being really clear about the vision and direction helps you decide, like, well, what do you do instead when you're not on the floor and when you're not firefighting?
Absolutely. I mean, we, you know, as everyone knows, we get to work with like literally hundreds of salon owners every single week. And, you know, some people sit on a decision like hiring a front of house or onboarding and really training a manager, a floor manager, or running team meetings effectively. Like some of these like seemingly simple decisions, they sit on them for a long, 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 long time. And so what happens is the business loses direction. It's kind of like it sort of stalls. Like I've got this grand vision, but I'm not really making the decisions to move me forward, which kind of leaves us with the next piece of the puzzle. So we've got be the architect, we've got have the vision, we've got, you know, you lead with direction, but then you really need to make decisions. And I know you could speak to this a lot, Riss. Like me and you, we carve out time every single week to sit, to talk, to walk, to actually go, what are the decisions that are in front of us? What are the ones that we need to prioritize? And what are the decisions we're making?
Yeah, and then be brave to actually take them. And, you know, it's really hard to make a decision if you're unclear about the vision and the direction. Like that is the roadblock to decision-making, to your point, Joel. You can't make the decision if you don't know where it is you're going because you don't know if you're pointing in the right direction. Like that is the stalling reason.
Yeah, yeah, so, so true. And we've got a 30-minute training inside of Salon Owners Collective that helps you distill your vision. And like it should be that simple, right? That you should be able to get to that really quickly and mobilize faster decisions. I don't know who said it, but like your business will grow in relation to the quality and speed of your decisions.
Yeah.
So no decisions, no growth.
Yeah, and you're almost better to make a wrong decision and keep moving at speed than, you know, agonize over whether or not it's the right one.
Totally. So we're talking about the five core roles of a salon CEO and putting on the CEO hat. One is be the architect. One is have the vision. You've got to lead with direction. You've got to make decisions. And last but certainly not least is once you've got all of that in place, you've got to be able to, you'd call it like rally the team, Riss?
Yeah, totally. Like you can't do it alone and then just expect to be running and making decisions and not bring the team on the journey. High communication, empower people to take action because now you have clarity because you've made good decisions, you're really clear on the vision and direction, because you can't do it alone and many hands make light work. So we really need to rally the team to come on the journey. Actually, it was really interesting, Joel. I haven't told you this yet. Yesterday, Kat said something really interesting. So Kat is our new operations manager. She's been with us exactly 1 week and 2 days. So I said to her, what did you go home and tell your husband what your new job is like? And she said, it's so great to be part of a team where everybody wants actively and obviously wants to be here and is fully engaged. And I feel like that's a good result of the five things we've just walked through and then doing a good job of rallying, because you can do all of the other things alone and then forget to bring your team on the journey. And then you'll be wondering why, like, I'm so driven and excited and I'm really going somewhere. Why is my team flat?
Yeah,
why aren't they excited about it? Like we need a rally.
Yeah. It's great actually to hear that. And also like we're getting the whole team together in a couple of weeks here in Wellington, New Zealand, which is going to be great. And believe it or not, team, you're not going to believe this. Top of the agenda, day one with everyone together. We're talking vision. We're talking direction. We're talking decisions. Okay. So we've talked about two hats now, the job hat, which I'm sure everyone can relate to, the CEO hat, and we've unpacked what the salon CEO is actually about, the five core roles of a salon CEO.
Okay. This is my favorite hat really, and it's probably the last hat that we get to, and you kind of need to get through hat one and two to get to hat three. But the third hat is the investor hat. Now, when I opened my salon, I didn't buy a salon, I opened a salon. I just kind of naturally went from apprentice, got qualified, and ran out of future in my business. Like, I was at the top. I was the top dog at 6 months out of my apprenticeship. I was like, well, what's next? And when I couldn't find the right salon to go to, because they didn't do good and like they didn't serve their clients properly, or there wasn't a cultural fit, and I didn't get the job that I did want, and I did get the job I didn't want. So I just kind of went, well, I'll just do my own thing. And that's pretty common, or someone offers us a business, or it's pretty common to think about just a next evolution of, you know, our career. Well, obviously there's no career path. I'll just go and buy a salon or get a salon. But that actually stops us from thinking about purchasing an investment, because what we could have done is taken that same amount of money and chosen to buy a house or invested on the stock market. And if you did that, because the world tells us if you buy a house, you expect a return over a period of time, the value to go up. Or if you invest in stocks, you expect a return on that money. And somehow along the way, this industry buys a salon and then feels really okay with just being like, oh, I'm not really that into money. Like, I just don't need the money. I do it for the passion and for the love. And I think we miss an opportunity to actually put an investor's hat on and expect when we buy something of value, a commercial asset, that we expect a return.
Yeah. It, you know what is bubbling up in my mind right now, Riss, is it's the separation piece again. Like, the house is over there, it's not me. The stock market over there is not me, but the selling, oh, that's all me, right? And so, you know, the expectation that in 10 years your house should double in value, or that you should get 12% out of the stock market on average, like, we don't have that expectation. And I'm hearing, like, we need to have that expectation. We need to be objective enough to look at the resources you're putting in, time, money, energy, all of the things, and go, this is actually what I expect. I expect that I will turn over $1 million. I will double my profit from 10% to 20% profit margin. I will double my salary. I will get to 250. I'll get to whatever double is. Because that's got to be a good place to go for your identity, right? Like, double your salary.
Yeah. And like, can we talk money for a second? Because, you know, you should, if you have a job, whatever the job, even if it's I'm part-time on the desk and the rest of the time I'm a CEO, like, that job, commercial reality job, needs to get paid at commercial rates. And that's separate to the CEO role, who needs to get paid, and the investor, who also needs to get paid as a return on investment. And so you actually need to get paid three different times for three different roles. For three different hats. And I think that's a really important distinction, because it helps you separate between each of them. Because otherwise, you know, we can be owning our business and just going, well, I'm just getting, you know, the same hourly rate as my team. No.
And so, looking at your business objectively through the hat or the lens of an investor, we think it's really, really important, because it helps with decision making. It helps you to show up the way that you need to put on your big girl or boy pants and make the decisions that will move your business positively into the future that we are in. And we believe it's one of the best decisions that you can ever make, is actually to start a business and to run a business that is optimized. We really believe that to be true. It's why Larissa and myself are in business. We're in business together. We think out of all the investments that you could make, that this is actually a really good decision.
Yeah, I think being in business is a great decision. Like, we need a house, of course, you know, to live in, and having rentals is nice. And maybe dabbling on the stock market is good too. But actually being in business, I think you said this just before to me, Joel, like, all the billionaires in the world, they own businesses. You probably know the stats on that. Like, but that's where the people make the money, owning a business.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're giving advice to, like, Joe Blogs, you're like, what do you do with your extra money? Do you start a business? Do you put it here? Do you put it there? Do you buy a house? Like, generally, they're going to say, put it in an index fund or an EFT for 50 years, start early, and that'll compound and you end up with $1 million, which in 50 years will only be worth 130 grand. So it's actually not a very, very good idea. But if you look at what Cody Sanchez, she's really popular at the moment, Tony Robbins, Warren Buffett, these financial gurus are actually saying, is the best investments they've ever made are in private businesses. Because when a private business like your salon is experiencing hardship, guess what the CEO does? It works through and out of the hardship. When a house goes through a housing crisis, we just sit there on the sidelines and go, oh, well, you don't do anything. When the stock market goes down or oil price, you just go, oh, well, But a business owner can take action and work with the hardship and the difficulty. And you've been doing that for the last 5, 10, 20 years anyway, right? So that's why we believe business is a fantastic decision. Be the investor.
And, you know, our baseline, Joel, is like $1 million business is where it's at. Like there's a good balance of freedom, profit at $1 million. Like you can be free enough to have a life outside of your business, because you've got enough people in the business to be able to share the load and actually run the jobs. We want you to double your profit, like minimum 150K a year, but 15 to 25% is ideal. So we want to double that salary. You want to get paid, probably not for a job in the long term, but that CEO needs to get paid separately to the business profit. And actually, we want you to be able to leave the business and ideally take 6 weeks leave every single year. Like that's what a good business looks like.
So good.
Or more. Upwards of that.
We just had one of our boardroom take 6 weeks off in a country far, far away from Australia. And it's just so good to see them actually exercising freedom and profits. It's so good.
All right. Well, let me leave you with this, because, you know, most owners think that their problem is clients, staff, or I need more time. And we've really identified today that that's not actually the problem. The real problem is that you're still wearing all of the hats, or you're only wearing the first hat. And we've identified that's not the way to grow. So we don't want you to wake up one day and realize that you didn't buy a business, you bought yourself a job. So we want to help you step out of the job and into that CEO and investor role. Like that's where we want you to spend the majority of your time. So you can build systems, you can build your leadership skills, and start treating your salon like the asset that it should be, like a saleable asset. Even if you don't sell it, it should be a saleable asset. So you could at any time. Like true wealth is being able to make decisions, decision freedom. So that's exactly how we help salon owners do that inside of Salon Mastery and the boardroom. So today's episode makes you realize that you've been stuck wearing the job hat and you've been there too long. This is my invitation to come and join the Salon Mastery waitlist. When my calendar opens up for strategy calls, you will be the first one that I reach out to. You'll be the place that I go. So head over to the link. It's in the show notes of this episode. But if you can't find that, no drama. It's kind of everywhere. It's in Instagram bio. It's in the group. It's on the website. And if you're all else fails, like, just send me a DM. So applications are open now, because the goal is never to actually just run a salon. The goal is to build one that works for you. All right, Joel, thanks for hanging out. That was a good episode.
Yeah, that was awesome. Awesome, Riss. Hey, and like, as we've talked about, there's three hats, right? And I just want to say, Riss, over the next week or so, have a great time taking off all three and spending some time in Adelaide. Have a safe flight, mate, and look forward to seeing when you come back.
Thanks. Cool. All right. That's a wrap from us. Ciao for now.
Ciao.